Okay. So this week's parsha begins with the mitzvah of Shemitah, of letting the year lie fallow in the seventh year. So just read a couple of psukim. It says, and Hashem spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai Lamor. It's actually an important word, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe behar Sinai Lamor. It says that he spoke to him at Har Sinai, telling him, Daber al b'nei Yisrael, v'amar talihem, speak to it, to the children, people of Israel, and you should tell them, Kisavo el ha'aretz, asher ani nosein lachem, when you come to the land that I give you, v'shav sa'aretz shabbos la'Hashem, and the land should rest a Shabbos for Hashem. And then it goes on, it says, Sheish anim tizra sadecha, for 6 years you should plant your field and prune it. And then it says, on the seventh year, Vashana Shavi'is, Shabbos, Shabboson, Yela Aretz. It should be a Shabbos for the land, a Shabbos l'Hashem, and you shouldn't plant, you should let it grow, and etc. And people can pick from it.
Is there an affirmative obligation to plant at the start?
Before? Well, you can't plant during the seventh year. Before? I don't think so. I think it's just saying that, you know, normal, it's not a mitzvah, sheish shanim, you know, for 6 years plant your field. It's just, that's what you'll do. You'll plant for 6 years, and then on the seventh year, you won't.
So, logistically, if for the first, if Chagat Katsir is Shavuos, right, and they gather on Sukkos, when does the year start? For the next cycle.
When does Shemitah start?
Does it start?
I think it starts from Rosh Hashanah.
Okay,
yeah.
So it starts from Rosh Hashanah, right? So now, let's say they cut the plants, the wheat, whatever, and all that grain in Shavuos time. So, and then Shemitah starts Rosh Hashanah. There's no firm obligation between that period of Katsir and Shavuos and
I don't think so.
Okay.
You probably will want to, because you want plants, but you're allowed to, and you won't be allowed to plant later. So,
at least during the Shemitah year, you can eat it as well as anyone else.
Right. So during Shemitah, it's not yours. It's like hefker. It's owned your field. Anyone can take from it. You could take. Anyone else could take. You can't take it all for yourself. So, the parsha, though, begins famously with the words, and Hashem spoke to Moshe, Behar Sinai. At Har Sinai, saying this. And then it goes on to talk about the laws of Shemitah. So, Rashi, also famously, based on the Medrash, says, Ma inyan Shemitah etzel Har Sinai. What is Shemitah mentioned? Why is it being mentioned in the context of Har Sinai? Why does he have to say that Hashem spoke to him at Har Sinai? What's it trying to tell me? What does Shemitah have to do with Har Sinai? So Rashi, Balal, Kol HaMitzvos Nemru MiSinai. All the mitzvahs were given at Har Sinai, Mount Sinai. So why is it saying it? Why does it mention Sinai? So says Rashi, Elama Shemitah Nemru Kolosecha Upratosecha V'Diktukeha MiSinai. To teach you that just like Shemitah, it's going to go into all the details, and all of these details were given at Har Sinai. So too, Afkula Nemru Klausein V'diktukein MiSinai. So too, all the mitzvos, all of their details were given at Sinai. I think what Rashi means is you don't find with all mitzvos that the Torah goes into so much detail. A lot of it is Torah Shebaal Peh, oral Torah, all the details of the mitzvah. The Torah might give a general mitzvah, but the details are left to Torah Shebaal Peh, as opposed to Shemitah. It's a little bit more lengthy with all the details. It's a series of about 8 psukim, and so it has all these details, and it's teaching you that just as all these details were given at Har Sinai, so too all the other mitzvos were, all of their details were also given at Har Sinai. That is Rashi. So the question, though, is I'm giving, I guess, my own one shot. Why this is the mitzvah? I'm saying because it has a lot of details. But others wonder, you know, what is it about Shemitah that makes it the mitzvah that we chose to highlight as being the one, you know, just like this one was giving our Sinai, so to all in the mitzvahs. It sounds like there's something extra important about the mitzvah of Shemitah. There's some yisod, some foundational idea that's important to use it as the paradigm mitzvah for this one was giving a Har Sinai, and so too all of the other mitzvahs are giving a Har Sinai. So what is unique or what is special about the mitzvah of Shemitah? It's also important to note that another pasuk from the second parsha this week, we have a double parsha this week, and in... Where is this pasuk? Perek Chaf Vav, pasuk Lamed Dalad. In the beginning of Parshas Bechukosai. So it says, it's talking about the different curses that will befall us if we don't follow the Torah. It says, I'll leave your houses in ruin and your sanctuaries desolate. And I'll scatter you among the nations, and I'll bring sword after you, and your land will be barren, will be empty, and in ruins. And then the pasuk says, pasuk lamedal de'az, tirtze ha'aretz eshabso seha kol yemei hashama. Then the land will be appeased. Tirtze will be happy. It will be appeased for its Shabbosos, for its Shabbases. Kol yemei hashama, all the years of its desolation. Ve'atem beretz oyveichem, and you'll be in your enemy's land. Oz tishbas haaretz. Ve'hirtzos es shabbososeha. Then the land will rest, and it will get its desired Shabbases. So. Among the curses here, the Torah is highlighting that after you leave the land, then after you're kicked out of the land of Israel, so then the land will get its rest that it's been waiting for. It will be appeased with its years of rest. The implication is that it wasn't getting its years of rest before. And indeed, I think Rashi quotes that. The 70 years, it says Rashi, the 70 years of Galus Bavel corresponded to the 70 years of Shemitah and Yovel, which occurred during the years where they angered God. Out of the 430 years of the first Beis Hamikdash, I don't think it was 430 exact. I think it was 410. That's what it seems that he says. He says 390 years they sinned from when they entered the land until the 10 Shvatim were sent into exile. And then the Bnei Yehuda remaining ones angered God for 40 more years until Yerushalayim was destroyed. And that's 430 years. And 430 divided by 7 is 60-something, about 60. Yeah. Let's see how we get to the rest. Okay, and then he adds on a few. Actually, he adds on a few more years, and in total, he gets to right. You're right. With the Yovel years, 436. So Yovel is every 50th year. So there would have been in a period of 430 years about 8 Yovels. So you add that on, you get 62. Approximately, you could do the exact math, but in 436 years, you'll have about 42 Shemitahs and another 8 Yovels, and we'll get you to, 62 Shemitahs and 8 Yovels will get you to 70. That was the land, they were in exile for 70 years, the land was taking back its Shabbases, its Shemitahs, that it seems that weren't observed properly. That's what Rashi over there quotes. Along Rashi goes into different details about it. But we see that somehow the Shemitah is a reason for them to be sent into exile. The land has to take back its Shemitah, take back its years of rest, and if they're not observing Shemitah, then that seems to be a cause of being sent into exile. And that's also something that we'll have to try to understand. So, in explaining what the idea of Shemitah, what we're trying to accomplish, is I numbered all the sources that I found, and I got to 7, coincidentally. 7 reasons for why we observe the Shemitah year. So, it's always good to start with the Sefer HaChinuch. Even though we didn't do that last week, we did Sefer HaChinuch second. But the Sefer HaChinuch gives 3 reasons for Shemitah. So first, he describes the mitzvah a little bit. We're mafkir. We leave the land ownerless on the 7th year. And he says that the reason for the mitzvah, reason number 1 is likboa bilibeinu, to establish in our hearts, uletzayir tzir chazak v'machashavteinu, and to paint, to draw a strong picture in our minds, inyan chidush ha'olam, the idea of that God created the world, and that it wasn't always there, right? In the medieval period, and many philosophies, I think, there's a belief that the world has always existed, billions and billions of years. More recently, I guess there's other theories, Big Bang, whatever it might be, different theories of how the world came to exist, but they're a very popular theory seems, again, I haven't really studied these things, but based on the comments of the Rishonim was that the world always existed. And this mitzvah reminds us, teaches us that that Hashem created the world. How does it do that? So we have this obligation to count 6 years and to rest on the 7th, and that reminds us of really the similar idea to Shabbos, that Hashem created the world, just as Shabbos reminds us of that for 6 days Hashem created the world, and on the 7th day He rested. So we do this not only on a weekly basis, but on an annual basis, that basically for like each time block, just as we do it for days, so we do it also for years, and we rest on the 7th. Very similar to what we refer to as Shabbos Bereishis, the weekly Shabbos. Someone has a similar idea to this. But I just have to find it.
Just by leaving it the way it was, they found a way to leave you with that skos which the Torah gave you by giving you the ability to use it as a shul. Now, what first implication is that fact you have? There was never such a thing as the seller having the right to use the money as soon as he got it, because the kinyan wasn't made yet. You're just holding on to someone else's money. So they didn't make you a show on it. And therefore, the very first nafkamina, aside from...
Okay, it was the Ramban. The Ramban has a similar idea to this, except that the Ramban distinguishes between the weekly Shabbos and the Shabbos of Shemitah, and that they're each reminding us of something different. He says that The 6 days of the Sheshes Yimei Bereshis, the 6 days of creation. So that's our 6 days of the week. And on the seventh day we rest, just as Hashem rested. But Shemitah.
So you don't have any responsibility, as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan.
Is a remez, is hinting to the idea of Olam Haba, of the world to come. The Yom Shekulo Shabbos. We have a tradition, right, that the world will be for 6,000 years, and then after 6,000 years, for the last 1,000 years, will be either Yemos HaMashiach or Olam Haba or some period post, let's call it Yemos HaMashiach, that we have this concept also there of the really the millennium, the millennia, that there's 6,000 years of this world and then 1,000 years of Olam Haba, and that the Ramban says is what's being hinted to in Shemitah, that Shemitah is hinting to the Yom Shekulo Shabbos, the day that's completely Shabbos, the day, the time of Olam Haba.
We hold like Rabbi Yochanan. Most
cookies. There's a show all the writer blends putting it out of.
Rabbi Yochanan.
The Ramban says that's why it's so strict. That's why we were chayev galus over. We were sent into exile over not keeping Shemitah, because of this idea that if you're not keeping Shemitah, that if you're denying Shemitah, he says you're denying. He mentions both. You're denying the Maisa Bereshis, that Hashem created the world, and you're denying Olam Haba, the world to come. So that's why it's so stringent. That's why they were sent into Galus over it.
Significant it is to what Rashi says. Rashi says the following.
That's the first reason given by the Sefer Achenach. And of course, it's a reminder. Besides for the six and the seven, you know, the 6 years and the seventh year, but when we leave the land fallow, so we remind ourselves that this isn't, we didn't create this. This is Hashem's. We're like giving it back to Hashem for the year, and he's the master of it, and when he wants to, he could command us to make it hefker, to make it ownerless, and that's also part of the reminder that Hashem created the world. We're saying this is really Hashem's, and because he created it, and we give it back to him. In a similar vein, right, we have a concept of the beginning of the Torah, very first Rashi in the Torah. It says,
Gracious,
in the beginning. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, the Torah really started from the first mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. Why did it start from Gracious? So Rashi says, Mishum koach maisiv higid la'amo. The strength of his deeds, he told over to his nation, to give them the inheritance of the nations. That's a pasuk, a verse in Tehillim. And the idea is, as Rashi goes on to explain, that if the nations of the world say to us, you're bandits, you stole our land. Wait, when we come and we conquer Israel, and we leave Mitzrayim, we leave Egypt, we come and conquer the land of Israel. They're going to say, you're stealing. You're bandits. So what's the response? So we say, Gracious Baruch Elohim, Hashem created the world. The whole world is Hashem's. He created it, and he gives it to that who he sees fit. He gave it to you. It was his will to give it to you, and now it's his will to give it to us. That is the very first Rashi in Bereshis. And that's why we have the whole, one of the reasons why we have Sefer Bereshis is to show, or really Parshas Bereshis at least, to show that Hashem created the world, and this is his, and he could give the land of Israel to whomever he wants. So the Abarbanel says that that's the idea of Shemitah as well.
that
this message that I just mentioned, that we're reminding ourselves that Hashem created the world by observing Shemitah, we're saying, this is yours, we're giving it back to you. So the Abarbanel says that we're also sending that message to the nations of the world. That, sorry, this is the Al-Sheikh. The Al-Sheikh says that the nations will see that we're not wisdom, we're not bandits. They're declaring us bandits. No, as Rashi says, this is Hashem's land. Look, we're leaving it on the seventh year, right? If we really thought this was our land, if we were really stealing it for ourselves, and purely without recognizing that it's Hashem's, then we would have we wouldn't be leaving it fallow for the seventh year. By leaving it fallow, by observing Shemitah, so we say we understand, we recognize that this is Hashem's land, and you should recognize that too. It's not stolen. Hashem gives it to whomever he wishes. So that's an added reason, added on to our own recognition that the land is Hashem's, that Hashem created the world, but we're also sending that message to the nations of the world to show them that this is Hashem's land. This is Hashem's land. The second reason that the Sefer HaChinuch gives, that counts as two, by the way. So far. So the second reason the Sefer HaChinuch is that to teach us good midos, to teach us fine character traits. What do we do in Shemitah? We let it lie fallow, and we make it hefker. We give it up. We say whoever wants to can come and take, right? So what better way to teach the midah of generosity? Train ourselves to be generous, right? If we practice any midah, we accustom ourselves to it. We train ourselves. So if it's true, we don't have a choice, we have to do it. But we'll develop that midah, we'll develop that character trait of vatranos, of giving in and giving up and sharing generosity and there's no, the way he says it is, there's no more thing that you can't be more generous than someone who gives without hope for payment. And I guess what he means is here, you're not going to get paid. You're just giving it. Nobody's giving anything back to you. And we train ourselves to have this midah of generosity. Rav Hirsch says, puts these two ideas together. These two ideas, one of the, we're showing it's Hashem's land, and second, we're training ourselves. Rav Hirsch says, with the mitzvah of Shemitah, the entire nation together shows that we understand that Hashem is the master, Hashem created the world. We pull our hands away from our rights to the land, and we basically return it to Hashem. We return the land to Hashem, and by doing that, we announce to ourselves, we announce to the world that we're just visitors here. This is really Hashem's land and Hashem's world. And automatically, as a result of that, anyone who's arrogant automatically becomes more humble. People who were confident in their own, they were felt secure with their because of their own wealth. Perhaps they were like, I created this fortune. I'm not sharing it. So now if they observe this mitzvah, it will teach them to be generous. And that's how these ideas really come together. They gel very nicely. That in saying, this is Hashem's land, we are both returning the land to Hashem, reminding ourselves that the entire land belongs to Hashem, and also that teaches us humility, and humility lends itself to generosity. And obviously we're being generous as well, and we develop these good midos by fulfilling this mitzvah. So that, yeah.
Humility because we're acknowledging Hashem as the charge of everything.
Right, and everything that we have, you know, let's say somebody has a very successful, farm, right? So you might think, you know, I have a successful farm because I'm a really good farmer. And look what I've accomplished, and I have the best, irrigation strategy. I know where to find the best seeds, and it's me. But when we say, wait a second, really, this all belongs to Hashem. Hashem controls the world, so that teaches us the midah of humility.
How did these people make money and eat during the shmita?
Very good question. So that's a pasuk.
Uprooted the Kenyan, they erased the Kenyan of Moses, which Chazal had the ability to do after Nation had proof. Chazal could say, we are going there that when you do a Kenyan with Moses, it's not code. So then,
after it talks about Shemitah and Yovel, so the Torah says as follows. The Nasnar, it's Pirya, and the land will give its fruit, V'achaltem L'sovan, you'll eat to fulfillment, Yishavtem L'veta Chalea, and you'll dwell securely upon it. The Chisomru, and when you'll say, Manocha Bashana Shavis, what are we going to eat on the seventh year? Hein lo nizra v'lo nesof es tibuaseinu. We haven't planted, and we're not gathering in our crop. The Tivisius Birchas Yilachem Bashana Ashishis, says Hashem, I promise I will command my blessing in the sixth year, the Asasas Tibuah Lishlosh Hashanim, and it will provide for 3 years' work. It will provide for the sixth year, for the seventh year when you're not planting, and also the beginning of the eighth year when you haven't planted the last crop. And Hashem promises that that we'll have enough from the sixth year until to last us until the eighth year. Interestingly, the Chasam Sofer is quoted as saying that from this very pasuk that I just read to you, we have a proof of Torah being Hashemayim, that the Torah was given from heaven. Because if this was written by Moshe Rabbeinu or by some guy, it was of human authorship, how could they write that and make such a promise? You can't just we don't find such elsewhere in the Torah such clear-cut promises. We have, if you follow the mitzvos, then, I'll give you rain. Okay, maybe we can always say if it doesn't rain, they didn't really follow the mitzvos. But here we have a promise that the sixth land is going to provide for 3 years. The Chasam Sofer is quoted as saying that this is a proof of Torah Min HaShamayim. I think they actually bring it. I saw in the art scroll here. They quote it. I think, yeah. This commandment proves that only Hashem is the author of the Torah. Because this chapter guarantees that the year before Shemitah will produce a crop large enough to last for 3 years. If a human being were inventing such a commandment, he would have to be foolhardy indeed to make such a prediction. Right. So that's the Chasam Sofer. That's number two. Like, it teaches us these good midos, and really number three. So the third purpose of this mitzvah, according to the Sefer Achinuch, is that it develops our bitachon in Hashem, our belief and reliance in Hashem. If a person finds in his heart to give up all of his stuff, his all of his land, everything that's growing, his inheritance, for a whole year, And he does this every 7 years, and he trains his family to do this. So he's going to develop the midah, the attribute of bitachon. He's going to learn to rely on Hashem. Really, this idea of this pasuk, that Hashem will provide for you for those years, and it, and once when we practice bitachon, so we again, like I said before, we develop the midah. Interestingly, over there, so it says v'chisomru manocha bashana ashevis. And when you'll say, or if you'll say, what will we eat in the 7th year? And I will command my bracha on you for the 6th year. There are those who say, and will provide grain for 3 years. There are those who say that this is, in a way, a punishment. This is all if you ask, what are we going to eat? Then I'll give you 3 years' worth of grain, extra grain. And what if we don't ask? So then, 1 year's worth of grain will be enough to fill us up. That will be, this may be a more Hasidic shot, but I'm not sure who says it, but there are commentaries who say this, the food itself should be blessed and should fill us up, and we shouldn't need a lot. It should be full of bracha, the food itself. If we say, oh, but what are we going to eat? You know, and we don't have the proper bitachon, so Hashem will respond. He'll still give us, but he'll give us. More food, more than we would have needed otherwise. On a practical level, that's just more work. You know, the more food that you need to eat, so the more grain you need to grind, and the more bread you need to bake. So it's just more work. It's better to just have less food, that's just more filling, and be filled with this bracha and not need. So in a way, this could be a lack of bitachon if you say, what are we going to eat? But either way, this mitzvah is there to train us in the midah of bitachon. The Kuyakar also builds on this idea. The Kuyakar says that the purpose of the mitzvah is to ingrain within us the midah of emunah, of belief in Hashem and bitachon. Because Hashem said, Hashem was concerned that when they come to the land, they enter Israel, so they'll start to plant and work the land, and when they're successful, so they're going to forget Hashem, and their bitachon in Him will wane. And they'll start to think, this is kochem notzim yadi, this is my strength, the strength of my hand, my planting abilities that gave me this. Which happens when someone's successful, and if they don't put proper, guards in place to make sure they don't get ahead of themselves and full of themselves. So that's why Hashem said, don't do what's normal. Now, leaving land fallow is a normal agricultural strategy, but according to the Kuyakar, the normal way that people do it is that they plant for 2 years, and the 3rd year they leave it empty. And Hashem said, plant for 6 years and leave it empty only on the 7th year, and you'll be fine. Another thing that they point out, he doesn't say here, but when you're going to leave land fallow, you switch up fields. You don't leave all your fields fallow for the same year. Rather, you pick one every year, you leave one, you switch off fields. But we're commanded to leave them all fallow in the same year, and Hashem promises us that we'll be fine. And this teaches us the midah of bitachon, teaches us to trust in Hashem.
Pulling in opposite directions, because if you're masakin, then it's not his, then there is no kiddushin to worry about. What's the chumra? But says the...
And he says, that's coming back to the galus, being sent into exile over this, he says that's why... It's so stringent, and it's a reason to be sent into exile, because if you don't keep the Shemitah, so that shows a lack of emunah in Hashem, and his ability to provide, his ability to make a miracle for you, to give you 3 years' worth of food, and the punishment is to be, is galus, is exile, it's a stringent punishment for not having proper bitacha, not having proper trust in Hashem. The Rambam, interestingly, says that the reason for Shemitah in the Moreh Nevochim, he says, is the practical reason. The Rambam says it's to, for the land, to make sure the land has strength, you know, is fertile. So the Abar Vanel says, well, then, why would it give double that year? If it's just a, you know, why would Hashem, or why would it be a mitzvah even? Why would it be Chayev Galus? Why would we be sent into exile over it? If this is just an agricultural strategy that the Torah is advising us on. He said, certainly there must be, you know, some deeper idea here. So he mentions it's to remember creation. And then he says a new idea, which is that we need constant reminders for the briefness, the shortness of life. Life is short. And the number that's given in the Mishnah and Avos is 70 years. You know, 70 years is a full life. So we need constant reminders, he says, that a person's life is only 70 years. And you got to use all that time wisely. And so we constantly have things in sevens to remind us of the idea that life is only 70 years. So we have Sheva Brachos, we have 7 days of chuppah after a wedding, and Anida is 7 days, and there's 7 days before Bris Milah. It's on the 8th day of the circumcision. Tuma for a Metzora, for a leper, is 7 days, or someone comes into contact with a dead body. He says the Miluim, we usually think of the Miluim as 8 days, the days of the dedication of the Mishkan, but I guess it was 7 days, and then the final day counts separate. Pesach is 7 days, the Omer is 7 weeks, Sukkot is 7 days, and Shemitah is 7 years. So we have everything's in sevens, according to him, to remind us of that life is short. It's only 70 years. And we have to use our time. That's the Abar Vanel. One last idea. I didn't really bring it back to the Mayan and Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. Why is Shemitah next to Har Sinai? Why is Shemitah the mitzvah about which we say that just like Shemitah, it was given at Sinai with all of its details, so too all the other mitzvos. So the Ksav Sofer has a couple of suggestions. But it's based on the ideas that we've said, that it's a foundation of emunah and bitachon, a foundation of all of the Torah, to have that bitachon. So that's why it's in a way an essential mitzvah. It teaches us humility. Basically these two main ideas that we started with are the reasons that he gives, which is this idea of teaching us humility, and that the land is Hashem's, and emunah and bitachon, and that's what makes it such an important mitzvah and a foundational mitzvah, that's the mitzvah that's chosen to be the one that you say, oh, just like this was given at Sinai, so all to all the other mitzvahs were given at Sinai. That was actually not the idea that I was going to end off with, just end off with something from Rav Dessler, Michtel Me'aliyahu. So Rav Dessler is also talking about this pasuk and the idea that that we went into galus, we were sent into exile because we didn't observe Shemitah. So Rav Dessler, he says that we find that the Gemara says a different reason. The Gemara says that the reason we went into exile the first time around, at least, was because of the Gimel Chamuros, that we were involved in the three cardinal sins, Avodah Zarah, idolatry, Gilui Arayos, sexual impropriety, and Shvichus Damim, and murder. And those were the cause of us to be sent into Galus, into exile, the first time around. That's what the Gemara says. Now, Rav Dessler says the root of all of that is, all of those averos is taiva, is desire. The root, even of idolatry, and even of, obviously, Gilui Arayos, sexual sins are obviously related to desire, but even Avodah Zarah, idolatry, and Shvichus Damim, murder, are also related to that, he says, because the Gemara says, "Avdu Yisrael Avodah Zarah Elo Hatra L'Marayis B'Farhesya." The Gemara says the reason why they served idols was in order to permit themselves to commit the sexual averos. Because I guess they weren't serving Hashem, they were serving other idols, then they could do what they want. And he says, so too murder, was, he says, the murders that were being committed were against the people who wouldn't let them do, go through with their desires. So it was all rooted in taiva, in following desire, earthly desires. He says, though, how does that fit in with this idea of Shemitah, where also we seem to have that separately, that we were sent into Galus because of Shemitah. So, says Rav Dessler, if we look into it further, we'll see that Shemitah is really the source of these averus as well, these other sins. In what way? Shemitah, Shabbos in general, the weekly Shabbos, and the annual, every 7 year Shabbos, teaches us the idea of what he calls Kedusha B'toch HaTeva, holiness in nature. We're taking, seven is normally within nature, and eight is beyond. In Jewish thought and Kabbalah, and eight's beyond, but seven is usually within nature. So, and Shabbos, somehow, though, is within nature. Shabbos is on the seventh day. And it's the idea that you can take nature and you can sanctify it. And the same is true, you could take the physical, the natural world, and sanctify. And that's also what Shemitah represents, taking the field and sanctifying it, taking the physical and sanctifying it. And a person, if we don't do that, if we don't keep Shemitah, so what it means is a refusal to bring Kedusha into the physical world. And if you're not bringing Kedusha, if you're not bringing holiness into the physical, so then there's no elevating ourselves, if you can't sanctify the physical, then what can we do, right? So that's such a central idea. And that Shemitah represents, and really Shabbos also, of being able to, within the physical, to bring in Kedusha to ourselves as well. And if we deny that, if we don't involve ourselves in that, so then we just fall into Tumah instead. We fall into impurity, and we fall into Averos and desires, and that is how Shemitah, not keeping Shemitah, is the source for, or is it, is it leads to following our own desires, which led to all of those averos, which led to the destruction and the exile, because it not following Shemitah represented the idea of not understanding the concept of sanctifying the physical, sanctifying ourselves, which ended up leading to them just following their desires.
So it's like,
so basically,
the dollar bill is saying that another one, but he's saying that, and it's his,
Hashem is saying,